Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, hour number two of Dukes and Bell here on Black Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Nick Kale and Harry Douglas in for Carl and Mike today. A lot of hoops news to get to with our Atlanta Hawks. We'll get to all of that coming up in about 20 minutes. College football going on right now. Iowa, Nebraska are even at 13 early in the third. And Iowa State trailing Texas 20-16 as they look to go with a go-ahead game-winning drive here midway through the fourth quarter. But Harry Douglas, what do you say we get to a little NFL blitz?
Let's do it.
Cut. Cut. Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, time for the NFL Blitz, guys, and it's brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. You can check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Bo Johnson is the producer of today's festivities, and he's got an NFL Blitz. What do we got, Bo?
This just in, fellas. The NFL has tentatively postponed Ravens-Steelers all the way to Tuesday night now after having to move it from being the last night, Thursday night Thanksgiving game. So it's twice that this game's been moved. How do you think the NFL is handling this COVID business?
Go ahead, Harry. What do you got, bud?
I don't know if I agree with moving it to Tuesday exactly. And the reasons being because it's so many guys who has COVID-19 right now for the Baltimore Ravens. I'll say just postpone the game to a later date. But the NFL, they're trying to hold back as much as possible from doing that, which I think they need to go ahead and just add that 18th week no matter what. That's just how I feel about it, point blank period.
What did you make of guys like Chase Claypool going on Twitter and saying that the NFL is really doing us dirty here? Because now, from the Steeler perspective,
I'm going to stop you, Nick.
Okay.
Chase Claypool, shut up. You're a rookie. You're not even allowed to talk. Point blank period.
Yes.
Shut up.
How about that? It's wide receiver on wide receiver crime right there, man.
I don't
you feel okay?
Principles are principles.
All right.
When you're a rookie in this league, your job is to make plays and be quiet.
Well, here's the thing, though. The Steelers have now had this been affected them twice. Remember, week three against the Tennessee Titans, they had to take their bye early because of the Titans outbreak. Now the Ravens have an outbreak. The one thing I do want to say that I feel strongly about is I don't think we should make Baltimore forfeit. Just like I don't think we should make any team that has this outbreak forfeit, unless one of these players or a group of players were so negligent in the process of protecting themselves that they were almost like, you know what, yeah, we're just going to go do X, Y, and Z as if this thing doesn't exist. Then I could see the league stepping in, but the league's not going to forfeit a game because they're not going to give up money.
Listen, Nick. You can't – listen, there are ways for you to get COVID that are literally uncontrollable.
Right.
And when you look at that and you have those things that can actually transpire, you can't just be like, okay, we're going to cancel this football game and forfeit this football game because they have 12 guys that had COVID. And no one knows how actually it even occurred or how these guys got it. You just can't do that. And I don't like the Pittsburgh Steelers whining about it because we're in a pandemic. 2020 has been the pandemic year. So why whine and complain about it? If you don't want to play the game, just tell the coach you don't want to play.
Yeah. No, I'm with
you. Don't get your game checked that week. Just tell them you don't want to play. Point blank period. Don't whine about it on social media.
Nobody wants to cough up that payday, man. You know that.
So speaking of the bottom line, because we know that that's what it's really all about, do y'all think that this is a move by the NFL to try to get one of its best young stars back on the field after Lamar Jackson was diagnosed as positive?
Well, I don't want to see a Steelers-Ravens game unless these teams are full throttle anyway.
Yeah, very true.
I don't want to see no Steelers and Ravens play without Lamar Jackson being on the football field. I really don't want to see them without the rest of the guys, J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram, all the other guys who has COVID right now. I don't want to see the game without those two guys because, listen, yesterday when I was thinking, or the previous day on Wednesday, when I was thinking I was going to watch the Steelers and Ravens, listen, I was going to have my feet kicked up, my sangria that I made yesterday, my sangria in one hand, my pen and notepad in the other hand, because I take notes on just about every game I watch.
All right,
and
yellow, you got the yellow legal pad or the white one?
Oh, I have the white one. I have the white one. And I was just going to watch these two teams physically impose their will on one another. But that didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I want this game to be played with both teams at full strength without COVID.
It's a rivalry game.
And oh, by the way, because to be honest, I don't know that Baltimore can beat Pittsburgh right now at full strength with the way these two teams are playing. So I damn sure don't believe they can beat Pittsburgh when they lose 12 guys.
I don't know about that, Nick. Listen.
Right, you take Baltimore, I'll take Pittsburgh.
The first football game they played in, Baltimore should have won the game. Lamar Jackson lost the football game by himself. Literally lost the football game by himself. They was physically imposing their will on the Pittsburgh Steelers in a way that I have not seen the Pittsburgh Steelers get bullied this year. And then the coaching staff decided, Greg Roman decided he wants to come out of halftime and throw the football after he's been running the football down the Pittsburgh Steeler defense, who normally is stingy when a team is trying to run the football. And the first thing that happened is an interception. Change the entirety of the ball game.
I just look at Pittsburgh right now. I feel like they're the most complete team in football.
No, because their rushing attack hasn't even started yet. They're not the most complete. Right now, in my eyes, they're one-dimensional.
Really?
And that's because they have a veteran quarterback in Big Ben. And I have to give credit. Whoever's recruiting the receivers for Pittsburgh the last 20 years needs a pay raise, because you lose Antonio Brown. You lose all kind of things, weapons on the outside, but you find a Deontay Thomas. You find a James Washington. You find a Chase Claypool.
Isn't that amazing, though?
It's like, crazy to me.
There are some franchises that can never get certain things right. And then there's the Steelers, whether it's receivers when they move on from Hines Ward or Plaxico Burress.
Yep.
And same thing at linebacker. They always crank out linebackers. Like the Ravens, they always find that next guy. Like some of these franchises just have the blueprint for certain positions, and Pittsburgh and Baltimore are perfect examples of that.
And you know why? I tell a lot of people, you know why DBs last longer in the NFL than wide receivers?
What is that?
I can go on the street and get me a wide receiver. You can't go on the street and get you a DB to cover a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I can get me somebody on the streets eating popcorn in their living room, watching, I don't know, Netflix all day to come out here and play receiver. I can't get anybody to come out here and flip them hips and put that foot in the ground and drive and pick that football off.
I just forget popcorn. I just want to see Harry Douglas relaxing with a little sangria. That's an interesting choice of your cocktail there, man, to watch a little football.
The most important question, though, red sangria or white sangria?
It was red. Listen, I had oranges. I had apples. I had strawberries. I had blueberries in that thing. Listen, it was so good to the point when I went to my in-law's house, everybody drunk up the sangria, but luckily I put me a little batch away in my refrigerator, so when I got home, I could drink my own.
There you go. I like it. What else we got today, Bo?
So it's kind of hard to believe that we're already through week 12 of the NFL football season. But hey, it's never too early or late for some mid-season, preseason awards or before the end of the season. So who y'all got right now, NFL Coach of the Year?
I think this is an easy one. I got to go, and I know they are on the outside of the playoffs looking in, but I got to go with Miami and my guy Brian Flores. You want to talk about, you know, we mentioned in the opening segment, oh, Matt Patricia, Belichick disciple. You know who got the real Belichick disciple correct? The Miami Dolphins.
That's right.
I go Brian Flores, man.
With me, it's either Mike Tomlin or Brian Flores. One of those two guys, simply the fact that Mike Tomlin has been so great when he's had studs and when he hasn't had studs. You look at last year, the job he did last year. Big Ben was on that team. I think they actually make the playoffs.
Yep.
The fact that the quarterback position was so terrible when Big Ben went down,
they were rolling out Duck Hodges.
Oh, I know. Literally, and he's a duck at the quarterback position.
Throwing ducks.
but either one of those guys, Mike Tomlin or Brian Flores, I said earlier this year I'm leaning more towards Brian Flores just because he's done so much with that organization, and we all know what that organization has been the last few years.
I can't argue with that. So will there be anybody in the NFL to beat Justin Herbert out for NFL Rookie of the Year?
Ooh, boy. I like this one because a lot of people think this is not even a contest now that Joe Burrow got hurt. Mm-hmm. But Justin Jefferson is tied for eighth in receiving yards mm-hmm. in his rookie season. He has 800-plus yards right now receiving, and he is a matchup nightmare. So it's either Herbert, in my eyes, or Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, that's a good one, Harry. And I'm not going to kill you for going with your former position at wide receiver because, hey look, they moved on from Stephon Diggs, and they said, let's bring in a kid from LSU in his first year. And you can make the case they haven't really dropped a beat at that position. I just got to go with Herbert just based on the imperative nature of the position of quarterback. And the Chargers always find ways to lose. I feel like every Chargers game has been the same for the last 12 years. It's like always a sweat in the fourth quarter and you're biting your nails. But I never thought Justin Herbert would be this good this quick. I thought he was a middle-of-the-road quarterback, maybe a franchise guy. I'm going to lean Justin Herbert, but I like your pick of Justin Jefferson.
But listen, I can't even argue with your pick because right now, Justin Herbert is completing 68% of his passes. He has 22 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. And listen, them not closing out football games, listen, I'm not going to put it on the quarterback position because he's doing everything he's supposed to do for this football team to win games. Mm-hmm. They're finding other ways to lose a football game. So I'm not going to put that on him. I'm not going to knock him from that either.
And let's not forget that this kid's first start, he had 6 minutes notice.
Yes.
After the punctured lung over there.
Against who?
That's a great question. Who was it?
The Chiefs.
Yeah, it was the Chiefs.
That's right.
Where another great rookie, Clyde Edwards-Helaire,
champion Chiefs,
should be in that conversation. Those were 300 yards in that game, but you're right. Mm-hmm. They can't finish it out.
Bo, can I say something to Bo really quick? Bo, please stop it with the Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Okay?
Not even in the conversation?
I haven't seen him since September.
I'm not putting him in the conversation. Okay. He's on an all-star team, yeah. Bo.
Well, and he's still he leads rookie running backs, at least, in yardage, but that's about all that he's really done. Justin Jefferson is probably having a bad year.
I don't care that he went to LSU either, Bo. I know your background.
I don't. Bo, are you a Tiger?
Yes,
I am a Tiger. I'm actually currently a Tiger, as a matter of fact. Like, enrolled right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, were you going back for, like, a Master's?
No, I'm going back to finish my bachelor's. Actually having to start over, though, since all my credit hours from the first time I was there did not transfer because they're over 10 years old. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What? Yeah, welcome to 2020. Mm. Yeah, I'm back in, like, Algebra 1. All right, a couple minutes left here. Speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, who's the best team in the AFC?
I mean, I got to go with what I said a couple of minutes ago that Harry disagrees with. I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Are you kidding me right now?
Look, here's the thing. Great defense, a quarterback who's, 39 playing at an MVP level again, and if they get the running game going, like you said, they've yet to get going, if that happens with James Conner, I think they're beyond complete.
So who's this is my question, Nick. If they play the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Kansas City Chiefs I'm talking about, in the playoffs, who do you think win that matchup?
Where's the game being played?
It doesn't matter. Who do you think wins that matchup, Nick?
Well, right now, it's going to be at Heinz Field. I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The thing is that I have seen this Kansas City Chiefs team over and over repeat. You are repeatedly what you do. I've seen them go up against top defenses, not so good top defenses, and time after time, I've seen them find a way to win the ball game. Did mm-hmm. they not play one of the best defenses last year in the Super Bowl?
Oh, for sure.
All right.
Well, only a couple seconds left, and I think this one's a little bit tougher of a question. Who's the best team in the NFC?
Ooh. I'll take this one first.
Go ahead.
And I have to say this because we're here in Atlanta, but if the New Orleans Saints play defense the way they did against the Atlanta Falcons, I have to go with the New Orleans Saints.
You know what? I'm going to take a flyer on this one here. I'm going to take a shot on the Rams. You've got the most unblockable guy in football in Aaron Donald, a shutdown corner in Jalen Ramsey, and maybe the best play caller short of Andy Reid in Sean McVay. I'll take the Rams, although I don't love it.
Man, my boy Nick is on that Mad Dog 2020 today.
Drinking the sangria,
Nick came over here on that Mad Dog 2020 on Friday.
I'm going to be on my third glass in a couple of minutes.
He on that Steel Reserve 211 today. Okay, go. Nick.
All right, that's the NFL Blitz. Nice job out of Bo Johnson. We will come back. We'll get away from football for a little bit, transition to the hardwood, the Hawks, and some hoops coming up next here on Dukes and Bell. Nick and Harry in for Carl and Mike on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and of course on the radio.com app.
This is Tiki Barber with a CBS Sports Minute. Usually when an athlete says that he doesn't love a sport, it's a sign that he's not committed to being great at his craft. However, when an athlete has shown, albeit in glimpses, that he actually has the potential to be great, then you take your chances. That was the thinking of the Minnesota Timberwolves when they selected University of Georgia freshman guard Anthony Edwards number one overall in the 2020 draft. In press leading up to the draft, Edwards had said that football was his favorite sport and that he didn't really like watching basketball. A bit head-scratching and worrisome for a kid you're about to make a millionaire. But let's not forget, he's also only 19 years old and may just need some maturing. Having the right influences around him will be paramount because players with great talent, but little passion often end up busts. I'm Tiki Barber.
All right, Dukes and Bell here on a Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Nick Kale and former Falcons wide receiver Harry Douglas in for Carl and Mike today. The Dog Report coming up at 4 o'clock today, but right now we're going to talk some hoops and we're going to get to the Hawks. We'll take some Hawks calls next segment if you guys want to jump in at 404-741-0929. And this segment is brought to you by Domino's. Try Domino's new chicken taco and cheeseburger specialty pizzas today. Now you can get all the delicious taco and burger flavors you crave delivered on a Domino's pizza. Harry Douglas, I don't know about you, but the optimism level I feel right now for the Atlanta Hawks is that one of the highest levels it's been at in maybe close to a decade. And that all starts with Trae Young. But, man, Travis Schlenk is putting it together. I'm ready for some hoops to get going right now.
I'm ready as well. And that's what this city needed. They needed the buzz. They needed the buzz for management to go get players to come play here, to add to Trae, to add to Cam Reddish, to add to this young nucleus team that they do have. And that's what they're doing right now. They're not being shy about it, not being apologetic about it. They're just going out there to get these guys so they can better their organization, better their team, and they can make the playoffs and try to make some noise and bring that trophy back home to Atlanta.
Yeah, and make no mistake about it. We know the NBA is about stars. You got to have stars to win championships. We believe Trae is on the verge of becoming one of those. But also, when I look at this team, and I just try to say, okay, I know Trae can get me 30. I love what this team could do and roll out this year because they have so many different combinations of players they can go with. They needed defense, they needed shooting, and they needed some size.
Yep.
And they were able to get all of that. They can play with spacing and pace. I think right now, if you're Lloyd Pierce, you got to be salivating over what you can roll out and say, you know what, if I want to go with four wings and a big, I can do that. If I want to play with three bigs and two small guys, I can do that. I mean, really, there's nothing this team doesn't have from a specific skill set standpoint on an NBA roster.
Well, when you look at this roster, now they're three deep at just about every position on the basketball floor. And when you're looking at personnel, you're talking personnel, it's about versatility. And when you look at this roster, the Atlanta Hawks have a ton of versatility. They have all kind of lineups they can miss and match. They have all kind of players that can play with one another. But you can literally sub your first five out, bring your second five in, those guys still be effective, and you add guys from your third string into the nucleus as well, and they can still be productive. Now, I think adding shooters along Trae Young is going to be very vital, and that's what they did. Now, you don't have to rely on Trae Young trying to score 30 points a night or taking all kind of shots. Listen, distribute that football. I'm talking about football. Distribute that basketball to different guys on your team that can make shots. And now things become more easier for Trae Young. He doesn't have to do as much as he's done, especially last year, because you have other guys who can put that ball in the basket as well.
I mean, you just think about the way they can space the floor with shooters.
Yeah.
We know Trae can fill it up. Bogdanovich can hit from 38%. Danilo Gallinari can hit from almost 40%. You have those three, and then you mix in a Capella or an Okongwu or an Collins, and then you've got specialists like Rondo who can play off the ball and defend. Dunn can defend and shoot. Not to mention some of the younger guys like Hunter and Cam. I mean, you're looking at 12 or 13 guys. It would not surprise me, and I don't think this is a bad thing when I say this. We could see so many different starting lineups this year. The only one constant I think that you will see in every single night is Trae. There might be some stretches and some nights where Capella doesn't start or Collins comes off the bench. I mean, that's the kind of the flexibility we have here.
Well, I'll tell you this. When you look at their forwards, whether it's small forwards, power forwards, all of those guys can shoot the three ball. Now, John Collins isn't as vital shooting the three ball as you may say a Bogdanovich or a Gallinari, a DeAndre Hunter, or Solomon Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But that versatility on the basketball court, when all those forwards can shoot the three ball like that, it's going to pay dividends. And I know a lot about Danilo Gallinari because he actually played with my brother up with the New York Knicks. So I got a chance to see him early in his career and see him thrive. And he can really fill it up from anywhere on the basketball court. So it's just going to be fun to watch this team this year. And I definitely think they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think the number from Vegas, and remember, this is a 72-game season, not 82 games. The win total over-under for the Hawks, according to the experts in Vegas, is 36.5. So they think this team is right at 500 or a tick above. And if you are 500 or a tick above, we've seen in the Eastern Conference, that could very well be an 8 seed, yeah, maybe even a 7 seed. And I'm not going to get carried away and say this team is going to win a knock off a 1 seed or a 2 seed. But boy, if we make the playoffs this year with a winning record, and maybe we give Boston or Milwaukee or Brooklyn a scare and we steal a game or two in the first round, that's only going to make coming to Atlanta more enticing for a star in the future.
I agree with you, but the key to this whole thing is going to be how committed are these guys going to be on the defensive end.
Yep.
So listen, you can fill it up all you want to from behind the arc or all over the court, but when you get to playoff basketball, you got to be able to play some defense. And these guys have to be committed to playing defensive basketball, especially when it's needed the most, and that's around playoff time when times get crucial.
Yeah, you know, it's a prime example of that is what we've seen from D'Antoni in Houston for all of these years. You can win 55 games, 61 games, you can play run-and-gun basketball, but when we get to April, we get to May, we get to June, and all of a sudden the games are 95-91, and you got to strap up at the other end of the court. If you don't have that ability or that desire to do so, you get exposed, and your season comes to a close quicker than you would have liked.
And, Nick, I'll use James Harden as an example. Now, he got a little better last year playing defense, but years prior, you can't score 50, then you're giving up 48.
Right.
And everyone's looking at you like, man, he put up 50, but damn, look, he gave up 48.
Yep.
So it's only a 2-point difference right there. So you have to be solid in all facets of the game, and it's good. Now I'm trying to see who's going to be that guy. Maybe John Collins, Capella, DeAndre Hunter, Chris Dunn is a good defender. Those guys and Rondo, those guys are going to have to set the standard when it comes to this basketball team, when it comes to defense and being committed to that side of the court.
And you know what's interesting, too, is you alluded to Collins there. So you have Capella. You drafted Okongwu 6th out of USC. We know Collins' contract will be coming up. And one of the things that I'm just praying for, and I see some of the Hawks beat guys, Chris Kirschner from The Athletic was tweeting this out. He's using those little trade machines on ESPN. And we know Giannis's time in Milwaukee could very well be coming to a close, want to play in a bigger market. Is it possible, and I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but with Trae Young and some of these other players that are really good pieces, where we could be in position at some point to make a deal for Giannis? Because you know, short of Kawhi in Toronto, you need multiple stars to win a chip.
Yeah.
And if we got the Greek Freak and Trae Young, and then the pieces like Gallinari, or who, you know, he could be part of a trade deal, but a few of the other pieces on this deep roster, I'm ready to go to war with that as a potential Eastern Conference power.
Well, ready to go to war, you better be ready to go to the conference finals and the NBA finals if you bring Giannis here, because that's the only player you'll be missing to making that leap within your organization, a player of his caliber. But I just honestly, I don't see Giannis leaving the Bucks unless they force it, unless the team and the organization force the trade. I don't see Giannis leaving because from all the things that he's showed me and the things that he's said, he's loyal. He's loyal. He say he wants to win where he is in Milwaukee.
No, I mean, it's cold there.
Listen, trust me, I know that. I played up in Green Bay in December. I know how cold it is in Wisconsin. He doesn't want to do it the right way the other guys have done it.
Now, okay, but here's the thing, though.
You can't knock him for that, but at the end of the day, when you get later in your career, you're like, man, I want to win a championship.
All right. Do you see Giannis winning a championship with complementary role players like a Middleton, like a Bledsoe, Or is he going to get to the point where he says, all right, I'm seeing LeBron and AD in Los Angeles. I'm seeing Kawhi and Paul George in Los Angeles. I'm seeing all these. I'm seeing Kyrie and KD in Brooklyn. Like, it's all about superpowers and, like, duos and trios of star power to win championships. There might come a point where he says, you know what? I'm tired of 62 wins and not getting to the NBA Finals as the lead dog. I want to run with Trae Young and maybe try to build something in Atlanta. You don't think that thought process will ever kick in?
Well, what he should be tired of is Coach Bud just throwing the ball to him and saying, Giannis, go do what you do. Let's go make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's go make the playoffs, because that's the way they're not going to do it. Because, number one, if Giannis ever developed a bona fide jump shot, there's possibility that he can be in contention for the greatest player of all time in NBA history if he can develop a jump shot that's bona fide and consistent.
All right, Hawks fans, you heard from us. Let's hear from you. 404-741-0929. What are your expectations for the Hawks this year? Is it playoffs or bust? Is it possibly a first-round playoff victory? Where are you guys at with the roster and the expectations? We'll take your calls next at 404-741-0929, and then you'll hear from your GM, Travis Schlenk. That's coming up next. Dukes and Bell, Nick and Harry in for the guys. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, welcome back in. Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Nick Kale and former Falcons wide receiver Harry Douglas with you as we take you up until 7 o'clock tonight. The Dog Report coming up in just about 20 minutes, but right now talking some Atlanta Hawks basketball and taking your calls on what your expectations are for this upcoming season. 404-741-0929. Harry, you ready to talk to the people?
Let's go.
All right, let's go. And we welcome in Chris. Chris, you're on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what up, Nick? What up, Harry?
What's good?
Hey, I had a quick question for you, man. I'm expecting playoffs or bust, but how much growth can we expect from Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter? And you think we'll see a lot of play-in time from the number six pick? And I'll hang up and listen to your comments, guys.
Appreciate it, Chris. You know, Harry, I'll start really quickly with Hunter. When I watched him at Virginia, like, I saw a guy who was a lockdown defender, but he was also a part of a team that won playing defensive basketball. I mean, Virginia was one of the lowest scoring, boring, grinded out defensive teams in college hoops. And I don't think that's really translated so far. I'm not saying that Hunter can't defend one-on-one, but I think he needs to be in a system where, you know, defense is actually preached.
And I'll say this. When we talk about Cam Reddish, I'll tell you this. Now, coming from the college basketball game to the NBA is different. And I'll use my brother as an example. My brother was a bona fide scorer in college.
Mm-hmm.
When he got his first few months in the NBA, and Trae Young experienced this also, it was a little difficult for those guys making shots because, number one, that basketball is a lot bigger. That three-point line is a lot further. And it took about, four or five months for Trae Young to finally get right, and then that following year he came back and was just shooting the lights out of the basketball all over the place. Now, I think Cam Reddish, I think this year he has to come on. It's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. But I think that year last year was his year just to get acclimated to the NBA game, understand what it was all about. And now that he's practicing every day at that three-point line, that NBA three-point line, because he already had range. Mm-hmm. Let's not mistakenly think about this now. Cam Reddish can shoot the basketball. Otherwise, Mike Krzyzewski wouldn't recruit him at Duke.
Right.
He can shoot the ball. It's more about being acclimated to the game, understanding what the NBA is like. And you got to realize these guys aren't playing 82 games at the college level. Those guys have to get adjusted to that. Now he has that year under his belt, and I think he's going to have a better year this year.
And you think about it, too, with all the depth that we have now between, and this applies to Cam and others as well, between Cam, Hunter, Huerta, Mays, Bogdan, Rondo, Dunn, Young. I mean, you've got so many guys competing to log minutes. I got to think that this is a good thing just simply from the standpoint of there's so much competition. I mean, guys want to log 30-plus minutes per night. And if you're not performing, well, now all of a sudden Lloyd Pierce, he can look down his bench and say, you know what, I feel good about my eighth man off the bench. You're going to take a seat if you don't put up numbers.
And to piggyback off of that, there's nothing that brings out the best in guys like other competition on your team. Listen, I when I was with the Atlanta Falcons, we had Roddy, Julio, Devin Hester, me, Eric Weems, all of us in the receiver group. Now, we're brothers, and we're not going to hate on one another, and we love one another, but we brought out the best in one another. When we did something wrong and didn't do something that was to our likeness, we addressed it as a group. We didn't need a coach to come in and tell us what we needed to do better. We did it as a group, and that lets you know you have a strong team. When those guys need to pick up the pace in certain areas, they can police each other. That's why you bring in these veterans like Rondo. You bring in a guy like Gallinari. So those guys can point these things out versus a coach having to come in and doing it.
Well, let's hear from the guy responsible for putting these pieces together, our GM Travis Schlenk, talking about the construction of this roster.
Well, right now, our roster, well, come Friday when we sign our last player, those will be the 17 guys we bring to camp. We don't have any plans to make any changes. The guys that have all been rewarded to be with us during training camp, that's who we're starting the year with.
All right, that was Travis. And I got to tell you, one of the things, and look, I get it. He was like the 50th overall pick. Second round picks in the NBA usually don't pan out to be much historically. But you even look at a guy like Skylar Mays, who Bo Johnson is going to love from LSU. I mean, that was another guy that could shoot and fill it up for Will Wade at LSU. And this guy might only be the 12th man on the roster and maybe log a few minutes. But that's a pretty good, I guess, 12th man to have, so to speak.
I'll take it as my 12th man.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is, and when you kind of look at, okay, here's what we have, where do we stack up? I'm not going to sit here and say we're remotely close to Milwaukee, Boston, Brooklyn, assuming it all comes together and there's chemistry with KD and Kyrie. The Sixers have done a kind of a reboot with Daryl Morey from Houston. But, you know, after Miami, which made a great run, nobody thought that Miami Heat would get to the NBA Finals in the bubble restart. You know, after those four or five teams, you know, can we get as high as possibly a six seed? I mean, crazier things have happened. It is 2020, right?
I actually think they could do it. When you look at the teams in their division, you have what? You have Miami. Now, Miami's going to be a tough task because those guys actually went to the finals last year. I think they're going to be even better. Coming into the 2021 season. Mm-hmm. Now, and then you have Orlando. I wouldn't sleep on Orlando. Those guys made the playoffs, but they actually have a nice little nucleus down there in Orlando. And they just drafted, was it Cole Anthony also as well?
To help, from Carolina?
Yeah, to help with the point guard positions. And that guy can score the football. We all know his father's NBA background. Now, when you look at Charlotte, they brought in LaMelo and they brought in Gordon Hayward. Charlotte's going to be Charlotte still. They got to add more pieces to the puzzle. Washington's going to be Washington still. They got all kind of things they got to iron out up there. If they can steal some games from Miami and maybe go split with Orlando, I'll give them a shot. I'll give them a shot. But I want to see how this team does against Miami, though, because Miami coming, they're the returning Eastern Conference Finals champions. So you want to see how your team stack up against a team who made it to the NBA Finals last year. And actually, I thought if they had all their pieces to the puzzle in the finals, now I don't think they would have won the finals. I think they would have had a better outing and a better showing if everybody was healthy.
All right, let me put you on the spot here. And I'm going to bring in one player and one team that we're always going to kind of be linked together with, right? So if I told you right now, you have to go on record and make this call. Better chance the Atlanta Hawks get into the playoffs and win multiple games in the first series, mm-hmm. or we go to Dallas and the Mavericks, mm-hmm. and you know who I'm referring to. They win multiple series in the playoffs. Which one would you go with? Hawks have to win two games in the first round, or the guy that we know we could have potentially had is able to win two series with the Dallas Mavericks.
I'm going to go with the Dallas Mavericks winning multiple series.
Okay. I'm just wondering because I know a lot of people look at Luka and they think he's a star.
Look at that team though, Nick. Look at that team. You know what I mean? The Unicorn got hurt against their opponent who against the Clippers. The Unicorn got hurt against the Clippers. I think if the Unicorn doesn't even get hurt, that's Kristaps Porzingis, if for those who don't understand who the Unicorn is.
Another former New Yorker.
Yes, if he doesn't get hurt, I think they actually beat the Clippers in that series.
All right. I feel like we're always going to be comparing what Trey does compared to what Luka does in Dallas.
But I hate the comparison because they're two different type of players.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Who's to say Luka would have did that here with the Hawks with their scheme and the whole nine? You know what I mean? Sometimes it's scheme fit also. I see players all the time at all kind of levels may be at a place and might not be that guy, but then they go somewhere else and they are that guy and their career just takes off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah,
it's about fit and your coaches, basically.
All right, as we wrap up the hoops conversation here for about 90 seconds, college basketball was underway just two nights ago. All sorts of teams like Kentucky, Michigan State, Carolina, Michigan getting underway. You think that we're going to be able to pull everything off as far as getting through this season and then getting to the March Madness bubble?
Oh, it's a reach. It's a reach. It's a reach, but anything is possible. Anything is possible, and I understand that you can't do what the NBA did and have a bubble with all these NCAA basketball teams out there that are going to be playing. But when you do get to tournament time, I think they're also looking at things of that nature of just doing everything in Indy and just playing it surrounded areas in Indianapolis, creating a little bubble in that kind of format, which I don't understand why they won't just go to Orlando and do it because the NBA just did it.
They showed it works.
Yeah. Why not just go to Orlando? Why you got to go to Indianapolis to do all that? You could just go to Orlando like the NBA just did. But when it comes to this college basketball, and I read something, and I printed it out, and this is from the ACC. Now, it calls for all team members and those in close contact with teams in men's and women's basketball to be tested three times each week on non-consecutive days. One PCR test must be administered within 3 days of the first competition of the week. The visiting team must have the results from the test performed within 3 days prior to the competition before the team travels to the site. A test shall also be administered within 48 hours of the conclusion of the game, and it may be either a PCR test or an antigen test. But listen, this is the kicker. Men's and women's of basketball officials will be required to test three times per week and will undergo symptom and temperature checks upon arrival at the venue.
Right.
Listen, it's so much that goes into it. Now, I didn't even think about the officials. I'm so much thinking about the players and the coaches and all that.
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of these coaches who happen to be older to me in college basketball come down with the coronavirus. But I didn't even think about the officials.
Yep.
What if one official tests positive? You can't even play the game, period.
No, you're right. We'll see if they can get through it. It's going to be interesting as we get closer and closer to having this vaccine and hopefully putting this thing to bed for good. All right, third hour coming up next as we will get back to football with the dogs. We go on the sidelines with the Georgia Bulldogs. Coming up next, you know what that means. That means Kirby. That means JT. And oh, by the way, the Gamecocks and Mike Bobo this week. Stay tuned. The dogs are barking. We're back after this on Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.